Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air in New York, an appeals court judge, and what he has just decided on masks. And Dr. Fauci tonight is asked, will we face another tough variant like Omicron? That late word coming in tonight from the appeals court here in New York, keeping the state's indoor mask mandate for schools and businesses, at least for now, after another judge in New York had halted the masks. So masks back for now, the hearing now coming in days. Tonight, Pfizer launching human trials on its new Omicron-specific booster. And tonight, Dr. Anthony Fauci on the question we all have, what is the likelihood we'll see another variant that challenges us like Omicron? Tonight, Ukraine and Russia and the new images coming in, U.S. military help arriving in Ukraine, anti-tank missiles, and what President Biden is now saying tonight about personally sanctioning Vladimir Putin. Ian Panel from Ukraine. The system moving in tonight, the brutal cold from the Midwest all the way down to Atlanta, up to New York. Wind chills plunging to 30 below zero in some places. And then the possible nor'easter brewing for the Northeast. Ginger Z showing us both models tonight, the potential tracks. Tonight, the U.S. Navy racing to recover an F-35 stealth fighter, the pilot safely ejecting, but why the Chinese could be very interested in this highly classified jet. In New York City tonight, news on the second NYPD officer to die now after that deadly shootout. He was 27 on the force for 4 years. For the first time tonight, we will hear from Capitol Officer Eugene Goodman in his own words. What he did January 6th, the country and the world saw his bravery. Your money, and for the second day in a row, the stock market plunging, then recovering, dropping 800 points today, more than 1,000 points yesterday, and then the comeback. So what's driving this? Rebecca Jarvis is here. Outside New York City tonight, the urgent search for a missing mother and two young children in New Jersey. Authorities say her husband called police. And news on Elton John tonight, why he won't be taking the stage in Dallas.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here in a Tuesday night news on Ukraine and Russia and what President Biden is now saying about possibly sanctioning Vladimir Putin personally. Thousands of U.S. troops on heightened alert. But we do begin tonight with the news on the pandemic. Late today, an appeals court judge keeping New York's indoor mask mandate for schools and businesses in place, at least for now. There was a lot of confusion these last 24 hours after another judge tried to halt the masks. There will now be a hearing, and it mirrors the debate across this country. And all of it comes as the U.S. is still reporting 664,000 new cases a day. Hospitalizations climbing in 13 states, nearly 20,000 COVID patients admitted to hospitals every day across this nation. And we are still seeing about 2,000 COVID deaths every day. After the Supreme Court shot down President Biden's mandate for large businesses to require workers be vaccinated, the Biden administration now officially withdrawing the business mandate today. The White House has said many large businesses have already put in place rules of their own. Tonight, Pfizer is now launching a human trial of its new vaccine booster, specifically targeting the Omicron variant. Of course, the question, will it be needed with cases coming down in parts of the country? And then looking forward, the big question, will we see another variant that tests us like Omicron? What Dr. Anthony Fauci said about that today. ABC's Ariel Reshef leading us off.
Tonight, that late word from an appeals court judge keeping New York State's school mask mandate in place for now. It comes just hours after a ruling striking down the state's indoor mask mandate sparked chaos and confusion across schools and businesses.
We're not anti-mask. We're anti-mandate.
The governor had vowed to fight it, even with COVID cases dropping dramatically in New York.
The last thing I want to see is a different trend because people gave up on the mask.
I think it's common sense. I think it's safe to have a mask.
Some schools today swiftly ditching the mask rule, others keeping the mandate in place, outraging some parents.
That is a lie. You guys will all be sued. Watch me.
On Long Island, parents angry after they say their maskless kids were told to stay in the library and join their classes via Zoom.
I just think it's wrong. For one day, give these kids the opportunity to have the choice to be maskless or masked. It's their constitutional right.
It comes as the country reports 664,000 new cases a day, and hospitalizations are still climbing across 13 states. Southern Idaho once again activating its crisis standards of care.
I know that everyone is tired of the pandemic. Like you, I wish that we could be done with the pandemic. But unfortunately, the pandemic is not done with us.
And tonight, Dr. Anthony Fauci calling Pfizer's move to test an Omicron target vaccine a prudent move. When asked about the back-to-back nature of the COVID variant surges, Dr. Fauci saying he does not believe we will be seeing that kind of pattern indefinitely.
Even if new variants emerge, they don't take that surge effect that we've seen with the four, now five surges that we've seen since the early 2020. So I don't believe we're going to be seeing that indefinitely. I think it's going to come down and down. And quite frankly, the more people that we get vaccinated and the more people we get boosted, the less the likelihood that we'll be seeing these return of variants that keep challenging us.
Nearly 2 weeks after the Supreme Court knocked down President Biden's vaccine mandate for large companies, the Labor Department today officially withdrawing those vaccination and testing requirements. Though the Biden administration says 98% of federal workers are already vaccinated. And tonight, one man in Boston is reportedly facing dire consequences for not getting the vaccine. The family of DJ Ferguson says the 31-year-old father desperately needs a heart transplant but is not eligible because he has not gotten the shot. The hospital saying, like other transplant programs in the United States, the COVID vaccine is one of several vaccines and lifestyle behaviors required for transplant candidates in the Mass General Brigham system in order to create both the best chance for a successful operation and also the patient's survival after transplantation. Medical ethicist Dr. Arthur Kaplan says this is not about discrimination, but about your vaccination status predicting the likelihood of the transplant's success.
A cold could kill you. COVID could kill you. The organs are scarce. We're not going to distribute them to someone who has a very poor chance of living when others who are vaccinated have a much better chance post-surgery of surviving.
And Ariel back with us tonight. We know this mass debate is happening all over the country with Omicron having peaked in some places, hopefully peaking in other places in the coming weeks. And that news tonight on that New York appeals court judge keeping the mask mandate in effect for schools and businesses for now after another judge had ruled against the masks. So masks back for now in New York, but there's a hearing coming.
That's right, David. It's now up to the appellate court to decide whether or not the mask mandate here in New York can stand. Previous judges have sided with the state, and Governor Hochul says she plans to lift the mask mandate if cases continue to drop next month. David.
Ariel Reshef tonight leading us off. Ariel, thank you. We're going to turn now to Russia and Ukraine and U.S. military equipment now arriving there. The pictures coming in tonight. And this evening, President Biden saying those 8,500 U.S. troops already put on heightened alert to be sent to the region to support NATO allies. They may be moving in the nearer term, were his words today. A new shipment of American anti-tank missiles arriving in Ukraine. The Russians releasing new video tonight of their troops in training exercises. And what President Biden is now saying tonight about personally sanctioning Vladimir Putin. ABC senior foreign correspondent Ian Pannell on the ground in Ukraine tonight.
Tonight, American anti-tank and bunker-busting missiles arriving in Kiev as the Biden administration steps up military support for Ukraine in its standoff with Russia.
This is the latest delivery of U.S.-supplied weapons and ammunition to the Ukrainian government. It's meant to send a signal of support to the people of Ukraine, but also a message of deterrence to the Kremlin.
8,500 U.S. troops are on high alert, standing by to deploy to Europe in case this crisis escalates further. And tonight, President Biden saying they could be on the move sooner rather than later.
Well, it depends. What would lead to that is what's going to happen, what Putin does or doesn't do. And I may be moving some of those troops in the nearer term, just because it takes time.
More than 100,000 Russian troops are now gathered on Ukraine's borders, with trainloads of troops and equipment moving into Belarus on the northern frontier. Biden now saying he'd even sanction Putin if he attacks.
If he were to move in with all those forces, it'd be the largest invasion since World War II. It would change the world.
The Kremlin's consistently denied it plans to invade, accusing the U.S. of hysteria. But America's taking no chances. Today's 79-ton military shipment includes more than 270 Javelin anti-tank missiles and over 800 shoulder-fired bunker-busting rockets. We saw these anti-tank weapons being used in training by the Ukrainian military last month. The Kremlin says this is American and NATO interference on its doorstep. The Ukrainian government's been playing down the sense of crisis here. But speaking exclusively to ABC News, the acting American ambassador in Ukraine, Kristina Kavin, warning Russia could do anything at any moment.
It's like a gun to the head of Ukraine, and we don't think that Ukraine should have to live with a loaded gun to its head.
And Ian Pannell back with us from Ukraine's capital again tonight. Just incredible reporting from you and the team. And Ian, I know you said today that President Biden is now indicating that he would consider personal sanctions on Vladimir Putin if Russia invades.
Yeah, that's right, David. If Putin invaded Ukraine, President Biden says, quote, there'd be enormous consequences, including possible sanctions against Putin himself. Worth remembering, though, that when US senators proposed the very same idea last week, the Kremlin said it would be a great mistake that would potentially cut off all relations between America and Russia. David?
Ian Pannell back with us again tonight. Ian, thank you. We move on this Tuesday night and back here at home, several states bracing for brutal cold and what could be a nor'easter now by late week. Up to 5 inches of snow in Detroit, icy roads causing accidents, snarling traffic there. Tomorrow morning, wind chills 30 below in some places, the cold from Atlanta all the way up to New York. And what the two models now say about this possible nor'easter. Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee back with us again tonight. Hey, Ginger.
Hey, David, tonight you can feel the nibble of that Arctic air. By tomorrow and Thursday, we will be fully engulfed. And that's why you see those wind chill advisories from Muncie, Indiana, all the way back up to St. Cloud. We're talking about the longest stretch of cold this entire winter season for much of the Great Lakes and even parts of the Northeast. So here are the numbers. Chicago, with that fresh snow, even though they're in a snow deficit still, will feel like 19 below tomorrow. It'll feel like 10 here in New York. Philadelphia, not much warmer. 5 for Boston. Speaking of Boston and that nor'easter, it's looking more and more likely like either way eastern Massachusetts and Rhode Island pick up snow in this, a lot of snow potentially. And depending on which model comes to fruition, that European model gets closer on Saturday, that would give Philadelphia and New York a shot at some big time snow. They will come into unification tomorrow and we will have a detailed forecast, David.
All right, Ginger, the wind on your mic tonight says it all. Thank you. We move on to the U.S. Navy tonight saying it will try to recover an F-35 stealth fighter. The pilot safely ejecting. It went down in the South China Sea. And tonight, Matt Gutman here on why the Chinese could be very interested in this highly classified American jet.
Tonight, one of the most sophisticated pieces of military technology on the planet, now at the bottom of the South China Sea and up for grabs. The Navy says arrangements are already underway to recover an F-35C stealth fighter, which was conducting routine flight operations when it suffered a landing mishap, crashing into the flight deck of the aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson, and then falling into the ocean. The pilot ejecting safely and was later recovered by a helicopter. 6 sailors were injured on that carrier, 2 of them plus the pilot medevaced to the Philippines. The incident, now under investigation, happened a day ago as the USS Carl Vinson carried out a naval show of force along with the Japanese Navy in the South China Sea, where China has recently made maritime territorial claims.
The race is on now to get the appropriate kind of recovery gear. The Chinese have it. The U.S. Navy has it. Both those countries are going to want to get a hold of this wreckage.
The nearly $100 million fifth-generation stealth fighter, one of the most sophisticated assets in the U.S. arsenal.
It's almost invisible to radar, and so the construction, the coatings that are on that airplane are of great interest to the Chinese.
David, the U.S. Navy has specialized equipment to salvage aircraft and submarines from incredible depths, recently bringing up a helicopter from 19,000 feet. But analysts say the Chinese have similar equipment, which is why they say the race is on to get to that wreckage. David.
Fascinating. We'll see who gets to it first. Matt Gutman, thank you. Here in New York City tonight, we have learned a second NYPD officer has now died after that deadly shooting during a domestic call in Harlem. Officer Wilbert Mora, just 27 years old. He was a 4-year veteran of the force. His partner, 22-year-old Officer Jason Rivera, died on Friday. Members of the force and the community standing vigil outside the 32nd precinct where a makeshift memorial is growing. Tonight, we are hearing for the first time from Capitol Officer Eugene Goodman in his own words. The country, the world saw those images. Video capturing him leading rioters up the stairs and away from the Senate chamber on January 6th. More than a year later, he's now talking. Rachel Scott at the Capitol.
He's the hero officer seen directing Senator Mitt Romney to safety as the rioters drew even closer. Today, Officer Eugene Goodman describing that experience for the first time since the insurrection.
I was just in go mode, you know what I mean?
On the podcast, Three Brothers No Sense, Goodman says he didn't even know the mob was nearly upon him, steps away from the Senate chamber.
When you see me come up the stairs and you see me look, before I had went down the stairs to look at the door, people were actually out there and standing around and all that kind of stuff. So I said, told them, I think they're downstairs. So when I went down there and I get confronted by people, I'm like, oh, heck, they're actually in the building. I honestly didn't know that they were that far in the building.
Goodman describing how he and his fellow officers didn't want to escalate the situation.
It could have been easily been a bloodbath. So kudos to everybody there that showed a measure of restraint with regards to deadly force, because it could have been bad, really, really bad.
David, and Officer Eugene Goodman has wanted to keep a low profile. He says he felt comfortable enough opening up in this podcast, noting that one of the hosts is a personal friend and fellow Capitol Police officer. David?
Yeah, he waited more than a year to talk. Rachel, thank you. Now to your money tonight and the question, what's driving these wild swings on Wall Street? Today, the Dow plunging 800 points at one point before then recovering at the end of the day. Yesterday, dropping more than 1,000 points before coming back as well. Tonight, the numbers closing down just 66 points after all of this. But, of course, what's driving it? Let's bring in our chief business correspondent, Rebecca Jarvis, tonight. Rebecca?
David, traders here on Wall Street believe the Federal Reserve is on the verge of hiking interest rates in order to cool and calm down inflation. While that should make prices stabilize over the long term, it also increases the cost of borrowing and can have an impact of slowing down the economy. Most people's 401ks track the S&P 500, which is down this year 9%. But when you broaden out that perspective over the last 12 months, that same stock market is up 13%. Over the last 5 years, it's up 90%, which is why, David, it is so important to think about these things, investing and building that nest egg over the long term. David?
Yeah, but still heart-pounding to watch these last couple of days. Rebecca, thank you.
Yes.
When we come back here tonight, the urgent search outside New York City tonight for a missing mother and her two young children, and then the news on Elton John.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, there is growing concern for a missing mother and two young children in Montville, New Jersey. Police say Cheng Sao and her young sons were last seen at their home on Saturday, her husband reporting them missing the next day. Cooperating with the investigation, authorities are concerned about their safety. To the index in Elton John's farewell tour in the U.S. on hold once again. He tested positive for COVID, postponing concerts in Dallas tonight and tomorrow. Fully vaccinated, boosted with mild symptoms, he plans to perform in Arkansas this weekend. And former Red Sox slugger David Ortiz elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Big Poppy making it in his first year on the ballot. Three-time World Series champion, and, of course, beloved in Boston. Finally tonight, we learn from our station WCVB in Boston about the furniture maker carving something with a purpose, saving all of his leftover wood to make gifts for Americans who answered the call. His work, America Strong. Throughout the pandemic, we have reported here on the families in need, the food banks, and those who are answering the call to help. They are America Strong. In Boston, furniture maker Michael Middleman. He's been using leftover wood to carve bowls, all of it with a purpose.
I get a lot out of it, just getting to be here and watch the wood turn.
Shaping, sanding, and giving them a finish.
You can see a little bit of the shimmer that the Cipelli has.
Mike making the bowls and posting them on his website, bowlsforfood.com. Instead of buying them, he's asking that you help families in need.
You can donate to any food bank or food pantry anywhere in the country. You send me a picture of your donation receipt and I mail you the bowl.
With a suggested donation of $100 to $200, he's now made 167 bowls, raising more than $25,000 for families in need, with new bowls every 2 to 3 weeks. And right here tonight.
Hi, David.
Mike, showing us his work.
This is a cherry bowl. I have this maple bowl with a Jatoba rim.
His bowls now shipped all over the country.
Hi, David.
Brianna Valerdi in Tucson.
Thought it was a great organization and wanted to give back. So in return, got this cool bowl that keeps little mandarins on our kitchen counter.
And tonight, Mike back at work in the shop.
Hunger, it's everywhere. And just as close by is an organization, a food bank or a food pantry that's trying to help those hungry people and would be happy to have your support.
We love your work and your message. I have a feeling those bowls will be all over this country. And by the way, a reminder, you can always download the ABC News app to watch America Strong and all of our reporting here at ABC News. I'm David Buer from all of us here. Good night.